This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, so it's 5:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. So before we go and proceed with the roll call, I'd like to start out with some announcements so that people have a chance to come in first. One of the things I'd like to highlight today is the number of vacant positions that are available within the GPSA and also in regards to our external committee appointments. And I just want to go through some of them today. Some of them were listed in the agenda, but there are others that were not included in the agenda, which kind of came to our attention in the past couple of days, which I put together into a little spreadsheet so that you can see, and I want to show that to you very briefly so that we before we get on to business. So the first two items appointments that we need to make as of GPSA liaisons to the Faculty Senate and the Employee Assembly. So we just need one person for each of those assemblies to attend their meetings, answer any questions they may have about GPSA affairs, and to also attend our general meetings so that we can they can answer any questions we may have about what's going on in each of those constituent assemblies. So that is very important for us. We have a liaison currently for the student assembly, and we need now liaisons for the other assemblies too. The other is the Public Safety Advisory Committee. This is currently being staffed by Nate Rogers, and he's willing to continue doing so through the end of the spring semester. However, he said that he is open for if anyone is interested in taking over this position, he would relinquish it to someone who is we would be willing to nominate. And this is very important because it's the committee that which is dealing with reforming and advising and answering over the CUPD, which is obviously something which is a huge topic for all of us these days. The other appointments we need to make are to the University Assembly Campus Infrastructure Committee and to the University Assembly Campus Welfare Committee. We need to make one appointment to the Campus Infrastructure Committee, and we need two appointments, one being a GPSA member and the other person potentially being a non-member, although they can also be a GPSA member, for Campus Welfare Committee. And we'd be happy to answer any questions about the specifics of what's entailed there, but they also have regular meetings that you would need to attend. And the other positions that we are looking for, I have, give me just one second. We need one person for the Academic Policies and Advising Implementation Committee. And we need one person for the Student Library Advisory Council. So this is the sort of committee which is, as it's described, building a knowledgeable network for Cornell and helping promote the library as a leader in resources and technology. So all of these have regularly scheduled meetings. Usually they're every other week. And if you are interested in attending any of these committees as our appointment, please get in contact with our VP of Operations, Mardik. And please, Nick, what is it?
Yeah, David, we also have an opening for the CPC, which is the campus
planning. Oh, right. So the CPC. So we recently got in contact with the Campus Planning Committee, who has been looking for a long time for a GPSA appointment, which is a 2-year appointment, which was supposed to start this year, but because we haven't had any nominations, that space is still empty. And so I would really want to encourage everyone for that. If you're interested in being involved in any way on university committees, that would be a very important one to participate in, because it's involved with physical planning of the campus, including master planning, land use and physical development, landscape and environmental planning and design, transportation planning, including circulation and parking, infrastructure and new construction and renovations as they relate to overall planning, character and integrity of the physical plant. And they state that among planning concerns that the CPC shall review and advocate on behalf of our public and open spaces, managing natural lands and shared facilities to benefit the overall campus community. So this is obviously a very important committee, which is also answerable directly to the university assembly. So it's very important that we have graduate and professional representation on this committee. So we're going to send out a full list of all these open vacancies to all of the members, but I want to make sure that I specifically mention this orally at the beginning of today's meeting. So in case anyone is interested, please contact Mardik Chatterjee directly, or contact anyone on the executive committee, myself included, And we'd be happy to talk with you and answer any questions you have if you may be interested. Okay, and we're also going to talk about other positions which involve elections later in today's meeting. But for now, I think it's probably good for us to move on to the roll call. So if Coral could, if you're ready, let's proceed with that.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. For master's degrees, we have Catherine Masters, Mila Kantar, Matthew Bolch.
I'm present.
Hannah Cole.
Present.
Stephanie Lopez. Paul Vinage.
Here.
Martik Chatterjee.
Present.
Tim Ludermoser.
Here.
Maddie Keefe.
Here.
Jordan Dotzel.
Here. Here, sorry.
Casey Laurent. Cody Duell.
Here.
Chris O'Connor.
Here.
Meredith Welch.
Here.
Hannah Bittiger Curtis. Ruth Barinkovich.
Here.
Karina Barras. Emery Shonley.
Here.
Matt Schaffler.
Here.
Matthew Sturgeon. Christine Owenewa. Ryan Maloney. Amanda Cirillo. Allison Bitgerada. And Peyton Cole.
Here.
Okay, what's the total?
14.
I also count 14, so we have quorum. Okay, so we're now going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, there's been a motion to approve the minutes for November 23rd. Is there a second?
I second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any amendments or objections to approving the minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. And we're now going to move on to our first presentation order of the day, which is from Vice President Nikola Danev on the International Teaching Assistant Program survey findings. You have the floor.
Thank you, David. I'm going to try to share my screen. I'm really terrible at doing this. You'd think I'd be better at it by now. Wow, it's not letting me share my... Let me try that again. Sorry. Oh, there we go. Cool. Can everyone see my screen? Okay. I'm not going to go into full screen mode because my cursor disappears. The GPSA distributed a survey to all of our graduate and professional students some time ago on November 10th, and it was because of the GPCI, which is the Graduate and Professional Community Initiative, a document that was made by members of the GPSA in the years before. So the ITAP is the International Teaching Assistant Program, and it's this program that's actually kind of specific to Cornell. I haven't really heard of many other of our peer institutions having anything quite like it. And it's a program where our international students are essentially, in a way, I guess, vetted whether they can speak English sufficiently. However, it's very unclear as to who gets to participate in this program, because we've had reports of American citizens being asked to participate in this because their last name sounded Latino, or because they're from Puerto Rico. We've had reports of students who are international who haven't been asked because, well, they're white and English sounding. So we kind of wanted to look into what's going on here. And we reached out to the office and they didn't really give us any specific information as to how it's decided who takes this assessment and who doesn't. So we reached out and we got overwhelming feedback. We actually got about 230 responses in just over a week. And this is a 46-page document. I'm not going to go over everything just because I do value everyone's time here. But I am going to say that 90.5% of the respondents think that the ITAP must change. Of these, 46% believe that it should be completely discontinued. 65% of Cornell students, graduate students and professional students, disagree with the ITAP being necessary for all international students. In fact, I'm just going to go through all of these slides just to kind of show you the breakup of the things that we're looking at, particularly what I think is relevant is here. The most shocking thing to me was that over, say, what is this, 64% believe that the ITAP is not necessary. And then over 60% also believe that the ITAP is not a fair assessment of English proficiency. And I can attest to this as someone who has taken the ITAP. There's another one that says, I think the ITAP requirement places an undue burden on international students, which I want to kind of really focus on. We have vast consensus that this is true. It does place undue burden on them. Let me just give you a personal story here. So I was about to move to Cornell in the middle of a pandemic in August, and I got an email out of nowhere saying that I need to take an English language assessment, which if I don't sufficiently pass, and it wasn't really explained to me what that means, I will not be allowed to TA. And TAing is a requirement for my funding as a PhD student. So no one really told me what's going to happen to my funding if I fail that test. Moreover, when I took the test, I didn't find out if I had passed it or not. I was told that they would inform my GFA and DGS and that within a week I would hear back. Now, you know, not to sound arrogant, but I was kind of convinced that I speak English decently well to be able to TA, so I wasn't too worried about my result. But I can definitely imagine a lot of students might be stressed for that 1 week, especially given, you know, the global circumstances and having to move some people across the world in the middle of a pandemic, not knowing if their position is going to be guaranteed just because someone in the last minute decided to give them an English language test. Now, mind you, as an international student, I was never informed that I would have to take this test. I'm going to go skip through these answers, but I really encourage you to take a look at them. They are testimonials from students who have experienced this. A lot of them comment on bias, anti-Asian racism, xenophobia, and xenophobia specifically. Also interesting to note, 52.7% didn't pass the ITAP ILA, but they had passed the TOEFL and they got into Cornell. And how many times did they have to retake the course? Only 33% of students, only 33% of students had to take it once. Everyone else, well, minus 9.5% from the remainder, had to take it twice, three times, or more than three times. Alarming is the fact that a lot of students report bias, specifically anti-Asian bias. And then I just want to kind of end with this here, that 41.6% think that the ITAP should be completely discontinued. 35.8% think that bilingual students and students that went to an English language institution should be allowed to opt out. Or just the easiest way to look at it is only 9.5% of students think that the ITAP should be kept as it is, which means everyone else thinks that it needs to be changed. We have a pretty representative sample of students, 232 respondents from various backgrounds, and they're all graduate students that responded to this. I'm more than happy to talk about this at greater length, but I'm going to wrap this presentation up here. What I suggest the next steps for the GPSA should be is to look at these into greater detail. And then the ITAP is currently undergoing an internal revision, which unfortunately is excluding students from it. There are no students involved in this process. I would like to discuss this further with other members of the assembly and then propose a resolution in February that we could send out to President Pollack, but also moreover take actionable steps to repair this deeply flawed process. I'm really open to feedback, and I would really hope that people will reach out to me to kind of discuss this further.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Are there any questions or comments for Nick? Please raise your hand. Matthew Balch.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, even though it's an internal process right now of restructuring, are there any hints or inklings as to what direction the administration is leading at all?
No, we haven't gotten anything really. I sent an email and all I got was we are working on an internal review and we'll keep you posted once that's over.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions or comments? Okay, so seeing none, thank you so much, Nick, and we will now move on to our next order of business. I realized just now that I skipped over an item of the agenda, which was that Nick had proposed a motion to extend today's meeting to 7:30. Nick, would you like to make that motion now, or do you want to wait until 7 before making that motion?
I guess we can wait to make it later, but a lot of the agenda is contingent on us making the meeting longer just so we can get through everything. I already notified the voting members of this. So, I mean, I see no harm in doing it now, so I guess I'll just do it. Motion to extend the meeting to 7:30 p.m., please.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, I'm not sure if this is the sort of motion that has to happen at the end of the meeting, but I think given that it affects the way we're planning the meeting, let's just go ahead and do it now. Is there a second to the motion to extend the meeting to 7:30?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to extending the meeting time to 7:30? Okay, hearing none, then by general consent, we have now set aside the regular orders of the day and the regular meeting time is now reduced to 7:30. So thank you so much, Nick, for that. Our next order of business is elections. And we're going to begin with the Student Advocacy Committee Chair. This is the committee chair which has been vacant for this entire semester, and I hope that today might be the day that someone would like to nominate someone to be the chair of this committee. Would someone like to do that now? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, we'll now move on to the next vacant position, which is the Finance Commission Chair. So Ariel Johnson is recently let us know that she her term is about to end as Finance Commission Chair, and I'm really sad about that because this is really, I think, one of the most important committees, most important commissions of the GPSA, and we really hope that someone will step up to lead this really important body. It controls one of the most important functions of the GPSA. So Ariel, would you like to make a pitch for why someone should take your job?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Ariel. I'm the current Finance Commission Chair in the GPSA. And essentially, what we do is take part of the student activity fee and allocate it to groups so that they can spend money on whatever they want to spend money on. And this is a cool, unique system because we in the GPSA set the rules of how money can be spent, and we check that the rules are being followed. So the Finance Commission basically does a lot of both of those tasks, although the guidelines are actually voted on by the entire GPSA. And as Finance Chair, you will essentially be heading a committee of around 10 people, and you together have everybody go through all of the budgets that organizations on campus submit, and you check whether, you know, they're following the rules. You get sort of wacky out there budgets sometimes that will ask for hard alcohol or bullets or who knows what, and you have to say no. But yeah, so entertainment value is high in this position, but also you get to find out what all of the groups are doing on campus. So if you're looking for ways to find out what's happening on campus, this is a great position for that. I think it's also a really good position in terms of building leadership skills, just because you're managing so many people, and as well as interfacing with the administrators who actually do the, you know, behind the scenes work of allocating the money and doing the reimbursements and so on and so forth. So I would say, yeah, this is a way to really get into the heart of campus, follow the money. And I'm happy to take any questions about what this position entails.
Yeah, and I see one question from Akarsha already, who asks, how many hours per week does the Finance Commission Chair invest, would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it varies by week. That's sort of frustrating. I would say on an average week, I spend probably 5 hours on this. I would say it was a little bit crazier during the start of the pandemic, when we had to rewrite a lot of rules to be pandemic friendly, as well as collaborating to get a lot of money allocated to the Access Fund was very time consuming. And then the other thing that happens regularly that's very time consuming is tier increase requests. So as you may or may not know, groups are capped at a maximum amount of money that they can request, which is sort of based on, you know, previous usage and need. And so groups will request to go up a tier for the new academic year. And so at the very start of the academic year, you know, before classes and whatever hiccup, you will have to go through maybe 30 of these requests and actually read through them. So that is maybe like a 20-hour commitment. And then whenever the Finance Commission guidelines are revised, that is also a substantial commitment. But they have been recently revised, so I don't anticipate the next chair having to make any major changes. That being said, like, we always try and listen to what people are saying in the grad and professional community about how the rules are working for them. And make updates as needed. So, yeah. So in general, 5 hours a week. I hope that answers your question.
Thanks. Are there any other questions for Ariel? Nick.
Could I just point out that this is one of the most important roles of the GPSA, mm-hmm. and it is extremely essential that we find someone for this. I know, you know, student advocacy is super important as well. We've managed to somehow do our student advocacy work without a chair for this semester, but we cannot function without a Finance Commission chair. This is extremely important.
And that's one of the reasons I really want to thank Ariel, you know, openly today for the work that you've done. I think this is really important for us. And I think I speak for many of you when I say thank you so much for your service to the GPSA and everyone you've worked with on the Finance Commission.
Thanks.
So thank you. Yeah. All right. Any other questions?
I also just want to say, if you're interested, but you're like, oh, that sounds so intimidating, I will help you through the transition and through the first few meetings next year. So there's like, you know, a learning curve to work with the campus group system and with administrators and whatnot, but I will help you do that.
Thank you. Would someone like to nominate themselves or another person now for this position? Okay, so seeing none, we can always come back to this if you so want. Akarsha, are you raising your hand, Akarsha?
Yes.
Okay, would you like to make a nomination?
Yes, I would like to nominate myself.
Oh, you would. So you're electing to vacate appropriations for Finance Commission then.
Can I do both?
Or is it is not advisable, but there is nothing that says that you can't. If you can handle both, then that's, there's no rule against it.
Okay. So I guess this is just my thought process. I would like to share mm-hmm. that with you guys and Ariel also, that I'm assuming that at this point of time, because there is not as much activities happening. It might be maybe something that the appropriations chair and, I mean, they're both not as intense right now. So maybe they might both come together as one assignment or one job. I might be oversimplifying it, but this is my thought process behind nominating myself. But I would like feedback on that.
Okay, so I see no objections to that. And just remember that, you know, both of these are, you know, committees. You would be working with other people, not just working alone on this. So I see no objection to doing that if that's what you'd like to do. So are there any other nominations for Finance Commission? All right, seeing none, I suppose we should go ahead and vote now on whether Akarsha Pandey should be the Finance Commission chair. I think we can just go ahead and vote the way we normally do. And this is open not just to the voting members, but to the entire assembly, including field representatives. So if you approve of this, then click yes. If not, click no. Okay, I think that it's pretty clear that with 25 in favor and one against, you are now hereby elected to Finance Commission chair, and you are not vacating your appropriations chair, so you are now chair of both committees now for this time, unless you choose to vacate the former. Okay, so congratulations. So, applause, yeah. Okay, let's move on now to our next elected position, which is the Master of Engineering voting member. Is there a Master of Engineering student or field representative who is interested in being nominated to become voting member? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, so seeing none, this is now open to all master's students from every division. If there is a master's student interested in being nominated to become voting member, please raise your hand. Okay, so seeing none, this position will remain vacant at this time. Seeing no further elections being held for today, I think we can move on now to our division breakouts. So please keep in mind that if you're in the Johnson School Division, that you have one vacant voting member position, which you can choose to elect by your own methods during division breakout. Otherwise, division breakout is left open to be run however you would like to do so, although we encourage you to get feedback from your field representatives about the resolutions which are on the table for today. How you would like them to vote. Okay, so if there are no questions, we can move into division breakout now.
David, I'm going to motion then to move the breakout sessions to the end of our meeting, so that if we're not technically ready right now for the breakout sessions.
All right, if we're not ready to go now, let's we'll table this item and then we'll move on to unfinished business, and then we'll come back to it maybe in between that and new business and see if we can do that then. So for unfinished business, we have a committee report on Resolution 5, the internal budget, which we referred to the Appropriations Committee last meeting. And we have received a report, which was included in your meeting packet, which included several amendments to the resolution in addition to the resolution itself. Akarsha, would you be willing to briefly introduce what you have reported? And if you have it in front of you, if you could share your screen.
Absolutely.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So based on our, first of all, thanks and good evening, everyone. Based on our last meeting, we had a few discussions and a few suggestions, and I proposed these amendments based on our last meeting. And I hope everyone has looked at the budget and has had some time to think about any specific requests that they might have, because I'll be making notes right now, and then we can hopefully have a final amended resolution. So these are the amendments. The first one is more of a formatting issue. So it was wrongly named Resolution 6. It should be Resolution 5. The second amendment was based on a recommendation made by Martik that the student advocacy budget should be cut down because this semester we're kind of not going to have any activity and no chair also. So next semester's budget would be 650, if I'm understanding that correctly. But yeah, and then there was a request to increase the faculty awards budget based on previous experience and just the shortage of funds for the same. So that has been taken into account in the third amendment. And finally, since we were not sure what the access fund will be exactly doing and whether it would be called an access fund, the wording that was previously written in the resolution was the suggestion to amend that, and I've taken into account that wording. So the lines 35 to 40 would be amended as displayed here. If I can read that out if required, or if everyone can read it, we can just move on. So yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, so thank you very much. And if I can add just like a point of information, and I said last time that I would talk with the administrators of the Access Fund to see what kind of needs are there. I wasn't able to get any specific data yet, but I'm going to get that by this Thursday. But they did seem to be optimistic and pleased with the idea that they would they could receive extra additional funding from the GPSA. So my recommendation to the assembly is that the language in Amendment 4 is probably accurate, because we don't necessarily have to name the Access Fund, but we put it aside for a particular purpose. And if the Access Fund needs the money, then we can then have the freedom to move it as we appropriate it that way as we see fit. So what I recommend that we do now is that we consider each of these amendments in turn and then consider the final resolution once these amendments have been disposed of. Amendment 1, I don't think that we need to discuss or debate this, because this just relates to the way that things are numbered, and it has to be numbered number 5 anyway. So if there are no objections to changing line 1 to resolution 5, then I will conclude by general consent that that amendment is adopted, because I don't think that we can say no to that amendment the way our system works. Let's move on to Amendment 2, changing Student Advocacy Committee to $650. Is there a second to this amendment?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion of Amendment 2? Please raise your hand. Seeing no discussion, then I'd like to call the question on Amendment 2. If you are in approval, please click yes. If not, please click no. All right, with 11 in favor and none against, Amendment 2 is adopted. And we'll now move on to Amendment 3, changing the faculty awards budget to $750. Is there a second to Amendment 3?
Second.
Okay. All right, it's been seconded. Is there any discussion of Amendment 3?
Could I call for a motion?
What's the motion?
A motion to suspend the bylaw requiring an absolute majority to pass a resolution for the remainder of this meeting.
So I'm afraid that I can't see this this motion in order, because we cannot suspend rules in the bylaws that protect the rights of those who are absent. And since there are members of the assembly who are absent today, we can't just change the majority requirement in our bylaws. I'm sympathetic with the motion, because I don't think that we need an absolute majority to pass every resolution. But I don't think we can suspend the bylaws. If anyone thinks that I'm making the wrong decision here, then you can make a motion to appeal the decision of the chair. But otherwise, I don't think that that motion would be in order. Okay. Cody.
Yeah, so just in regards to discussion of Amendment 3, I just wanted to sort of reiterate that the point behind that request was not because I think we're extremely likely to use all of the funds, but just because if we're able to hold any physical events, which would be in May or June for this event, without this change, we would not be able to. So that was the whole spirit behind it.
Okay, thank you very much, Cody. Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I move the question on Amendment 3. Let's please vote yes if you're in favor of Amendment 3, no if not. Okay, with 13 in favor and 1 against, the vote passes and Amendment 3 is adopted. We'll now move on to Amendment 4, which is setting aside $2,200 for a fund to help support graduate students' home technology needs, as the language which it states there. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been seconded. Is there any discussion of Amendment 4? All right, seeing none, I move the previous question on Amendment 4. Please click yes if you're in favor, no if you're not. Okay, seeing 16 in favor and none against, the motion passes and Amendment 4 is adopted. We're now moving back into discussion of the resolution itself, Resolution 5. Are there any further discussion?
I'd like the motion to call the question.
Okay, and seeing no hands are up, I'm going to go ahead and grant that. So please go ahead and vote yes if you are in favor of the resolution, no if not. Okay, with 13 in favor and none against, the resolution passes and we adopt the internal budget. So thank you very much. I'll go ahead and clear this. And thank you very much, Akarsha, for sharing and working with the committees on this. Are we ready for division breakouts?
Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that now then. All right, I think that's close enough. So welcome back, everyone. And we are now going to move on to new business, the first of which is Resolution 7, urging graduate teaching assistants to have the right to decide their instruction modality for spring 2021, introduced by Mardik Chatterjee. And since he's on his phone, he's asked me to share the text, so I'm going to share my screen very briefly.
David, before you do that, I'd like to call a point of order.
What's your point of order?
I'd like to appeal your decision, your previous decision, to not suspend the bylaws.
Okay, so there's been a motion to appeal the decision of the chair on my decision not to allow us to suspend the bylaws to remove the absolute majority voting requirement. The way this works is that since this is not appealing a debatable decision, we're just going to move straight to voting on it. The way it works now is that if you think that I made the correct decision, then you vote yes. So you're voting yes if you support what I said. Vote no if you think that I did the wrong thing, right? And so you're saying, yes, we should keep the absolute majority voting requirement for resolutions because it protects the rights of the absentees. If you think that's the wrong decision, then you click no. So are there any questions about what we're doing right now?
And this is only voting members can vote, the entire
body? This is only for voting members. And it only needs a simple majority to pass, but it is a motion that we can reconsider if you change your mind later on. So if there are no questions about this, please click yes if you think we should keep the absolute majority voting requirement for resolutions. Click no if you think we should suspend that part of the bylaws and allow for simple majority. So just Do you understand the difference, right? Okay. And just to be clear that you should be voting based on your understanding of Robert's rules, not you think that I've misinterpreted Robert's rules of order. Oh, don't do this to
me. David, do you want to break the tie?
I can't break the tie that's appealing my own decision. So since it is 7 in favor and 7 against, I'm afraid that this motion does not pass and that we're still going by absolute voting majority for this. So, but thank you very much for doing that. You can make a motion to reconsider if you change your mind, but only if you are on the prevailing side of the vote, which means if you voted yes. Okay, that being said, let's move on to Resolution 7. I'm gonna share my screen so that we can see it. Hold on. Mardik, if you're there, you can start talking. I'm going to try to pull this up real quick.
Yeah, so I'll get started on it. So in the fall when Cornell decided that they would do a hybrid model, it was decided that faculty can choose the way that they want to hold their classes. So essentially, if they want to hold it online or in person, and students also had the choice to take classes either online or hybrid or in person. However, graduate TAs were not given the option to decide whether they want to teach in person or teach online, but they had to pretty much do what that class was supposed to be based on whoever that designed the class or was in charge of designing the class. To get past this, the official position was to go through Student Disability Services and make a petition to them, and they decide whether or not you teach in person and you teach online, or like if you were given an in-person class, whether or not you can change it to an online version. So I think like there was a lot of petitions that were submitted to the grad school, especially by a lot of student organizations like the by Q grads, for instance. It was also signed by BGPSA, signed by Graduate Professional Students International, that this policy was not equitable for all grad students because you had to definitely like disclose your health conditions, if even if you were uncomfortable with it, to the SDS. And also in that process, there was a chance that you had to disclose, you could have disclosed your health conditions to faculty even though you were not okay with it. So to get past this kind of cumbersome process, and also like except apart from disclosing your health information and everything, the onus was on the grad TAs who were uncomfortable with teaching in person to make the decision for themselves and find out the methodology of like appealing that process. To get past this, a lot of departments, especially science and technology, entomology, molecular biology, and genetics, and a lot of other departments, I mentioned a few of them in the resolution. There were, as far as I kept account, there were like 11 to 12 departments across all colleges on campus decided that they would not go through this process, but when they'd make the teaching assignments, they would give the autonomy to the students to decide whether they want to teach in person or online. So keeping in mind that the pandemic is over, and in fact the numbers are rising again, even though Cornell has a very strict testing program, I propose the resolution where there is an opt-in policy where all grad TAs choose to decide for themselves whether they want to teach in person or online, and they do that without any form of coercion. And I would want it to be resolved that the graduate school adopt this as a matter of policy and communicate this policy to all the departments and the faculty in charge for making these teaching appointments. And yes, so Integrative Plant Sciences also gave the choice to make the decision. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you, Marduk. Is there a second to the resolution?
Second.
All right, it's been seconded. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to call for a
Matthew Balch.
Hi, I just wanted to ask Marduk a question. Wait, we're in the wrong segment for that. I apologize.
No, you can, let's just go ahead. If you have a question, that's fine.
Okay, so I TA this semester and it was a hybrid class, and my professor specifically requested an in-person TA. I initially read this and was very much on board with the resolution, but now I'm having second thoughts because if I were to not have been in person for the in-person classes portion of the hybrid modality, then my professor would have been left stranded more or less. So I'm curious as to like if there are any provisions in place for those who go into teaching assistantships with the intention of being in person, but then opt out at a later date, if there would be any action of recourse for faculty members who require an in-person assistant.
Okay, Marduk, would you like to answer?
Yeah, I think there is a clause. I need to find where it is exactly, but I think I put it in there that they could change their teaching modality as and when they decide in also in the middle of the semester, depending on their comfort level.
Okay, thank you.
Can I answer your question?
Yes, I will look over it again and look for that specific line, but I can reread it real quickly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tim.
Thanks. I'd like to speak in favor of this resolution. I think it's worth noting and actually Martic underestimated a bit. It was over 20 departments on the list that we were keeping track of, and I know there are a couple that we missed, that did sort of independently have a policy similar to this one. And I want to note that that was a lot of time and energy by grad students that I consider effectively wasted. Not because, I mean, it did make good policy, but it was a waste of our time because the grad school should have done this in the first place, quite frankly. And it's great that those departments did that, but the fact that it was so department by department piecemeal only exacerbated, you know, the pre-existing inequities in this situation. I think it's a major, you know, frankly, just baseline worker safety issue that TAs were sort of forced into these positions. And to speak to Matt's point, I know at least the way that my department handled it was that if you chose online and the class you were originally assigned to was going to be hybrid or in person, then your specific class assignment might shuffle to accommodate people's needs. Now, that doesn't necessarily help if something changes in the middle of the semester, but I think that is a pretty reasonable way to handle, at least before the semester begins, of just having the departments manage people's preferences so that in-person classes get in-person TAs as much as possible, even if that means changing some assignments. And yeah, I mean, frankly, I think it's ridiculous that the graduate school hasn't taken this seriously in the first place. We got a very condescending email back in August that essentially said, oh, all the departments making up their own policies was our intent all along, which was absurd. And I think we should absolutely pass this today, and I'm strongly in favor of it.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Kavya.
Yeah, I'd also like to speak in favor of the resolution. Like Tim said, getting those 20 departments to make this a policy was a lot of work and a lot of emailing on behalf of the students over the summer. And one thing that's in the resolution, but I don't know if Martha stressed, was the process through this student disability services is only very specifically if you have a personal health concern. So that doesn't account for if you're in a household with someone who's vulnerable population, if you're just like physically uncomfortable with being teaching in person in the middle of a pandemic, if you have transport issues. All of those things are dependent on you talking to the professor you're TAing for and coming to a resolution. And then if that doesn't work out, you have to escalate it to your DGS, the graduate school, but you have to be the one to escalate the issue and potentially piss off your TA, your supervisor, like lose your TA-ship and go through that entire process and face that consequence.
Thank you, Cody.
Yeah, so you've already heard a couple of voices in favor, and I just kind of like to echo that as well. You know, as somebody who this summer spent a lot of time talking to my department to get them to, you know, I'm in the physics department, and getting them to adapt a policy that was similar to this, it is very helpful, even if the graduate school does not adapt a policy similar to this. It's helpful having things like this to point to and to say, you know, that this is something that graduate students feel that is very important, that we think is something that we need. And people may not necessarily feel comfortable, you know, going through the chain, the process that is available to them. And it seems kind of ridiculous that they would need to go out of their way to try to feel comfortable standing up for their own health. So having things like this, you know, I think no matter what, it is feels important. It was very helpful being able to point to the survey and to be able to point to other departments and to show sort of what was happening across the board, you know, as something that is, you know, just something that's very important to the graduate students in the department and, you know, across the whole graduate school. So.
Okay, thank you. Maggie.
Hi, everyone. I just, again, want to echo sort of the previous concerns elaborated on by our other representatives, and to also agree in very strong terms with Tim's assertion that this is, in fact, a worker safety issue. I very much agree that this is sort of an unfair source of pressure on our labor, and sort of feeds into the expectation that we will continue to work for far more than we're actually compensated for. I also, you know, want to emphasize how, you know, a measure like this would, at least in part, right, go towards acknowledging and attempting to alleviate, right, the pressure of the power differential a lot of us experience between us and our advisors, us and our departmental chairs. You know, my department, I was fortunate, pretty much immediately gave us the choice and was very upfront and assertive in that respect. But this process has, I found, overall privileged those people who have good relationships with their advisors and have good relationships with their departments, which is not always the case for everyone. And that's incredibly troubling. So I just want to say in the strongest terms possible how much in favor I am of a resolution like this.
Thank you, Maggie. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. Hi. Can't raise my hand.
Yeah, Nick.
Thank you, David. So a lot of people have spoken in favor, and I'm fully in favor. I'm not going to waste anyone's time with expressing how much in favor I am, but I do know that we can't vote on it because of our bylaws. So I'm going to call for a suspension of the bylaws to allow us to vote on all resolutions that were introduced today for the remainder of this meeting.
Yeah, I just realized we didn't do that for the previous resolution. So we can do that. If you want to do a motion for all resolutions, you can do it for all of them except the last one, since the last one's an amendment to the charter. Do you want to do it just for this one or for all of them?
No, I'm motioning for all the resolutions on the floor today except for the one that's an amendment to the charter.
Okay, is there a second to the motion to suspend the bylaws and allow us to vote today? I heard a second.
Logan.
Okay, and are there any objections? All right, hearing none, then the motion passes and we can vote on this today if you want. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, let's call the question. All in favor of the resolution, please click yes. If not, click no. Okay, with 13 in favor and none against and the remainder abstaining, the resolution passes, is adopted. So thank you very much, Mardik. And we're now going to move on to our next resolution, which is resolution, what number are we on? Resolution 8, maintaining the University Assembly's jurisdiction over the Code of Conduct, sponsored by Logan Kenny, Jeff P., and Nicola Danev. Would one of you like to speak introducing this? Logan, yeah.
Thank you, David. Hi again, everyone. I think this is my third GPSA meeting, so nice to see you all, and thanks again for electing me to the University Assembly. For those of you that did, and for those of you that don't know who I am, I am an ex officio member, and I serve on the UA. I'm also the University Assembly Chair, so I am the David of the University Assembly. So I wrote this resolution primarily because right now with the sweeping code changes, one of the largest changes is that jurisdiction over the code would be taken away from the University Assembly. The University Assembly has had jurisdiction in some form or another for the past 50 years. And this will be the first time that another person would oversee. The person overseeing would be the Vice President of Student and Campus Life, who has a pretty big conflict of interest, because they oversee the Office of the Judicial Administrator. So one side of the equation is the Office of the Judicial Administrator and the other is the Judicial Codes Counselor. So I drafted this resolution because I know that this code belongs in the hands of an unbiased body. The UA has all of the constituent leaders, so every president and chair of the five constituent groups across campus are on the UA. We also have the Codes and Judicial Committee, which has been making amendments for as long as, I guess, the university assembly has had it, and the CJC was adopted for that reason. And so this really is just a resolution asking that the current draft that was created by the university council removes the jurisdiction from the VPSCL and gives it back to the university assembly, and that the university assembly, what we've changed is we've added that, let me add language that I'd like us to consider actually into the chat, if that's all right, David.
Yeah, so we'll do amendments once we
I'll continue talking then. I think it's really important to have all community stakeholders involved. I spoke to the student assembly last Thursday, and they have formally and unanimously adopted this resolution. Not as written, the amendment that I want to propose is the one that we came to the conclusion of, and that would be that every time an amendment went through the university assembly, the UA would immediately contact both the GPSA and the SA and ask for very detailed either resolutions or feedback, and that we would consider that seriously and invite them to all meetings. And that's on top of the GPSA and the SA already being a part of the CJC and the UA. So this is just a way to maintain that students really do have a say, because right now in the proposed version, it just calls for input from the constituent groups, but it doesn't even define what that input is, how heavily it'll be considered. So without that definition, the vice president can come to the GPSA and say, this is an amendment I want to make. The GPSA can say, I really don't like the amendment. And then there's nothing in the code currently that says that any weight will really be given to that. It's more of an advisory role. Thank you, Wendy. So Wendy just posted Resolution 19 of the Student Assembly, which was passed and is the exact same thing. And basically, I'm just saying in the spirit of shared governance that an independent body is the one that the code belongs with, and that the UA has served that purpose and should continue serving that purpose. And I am open to any questions about this.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second to the resolution? Nick, is that a second?
I don't think I can because I'm sponsoring it. Okay,
I heard a second, so we'll now move into discussion. If you please raise your hand if you have Nick.
Thank you. I just really want to express my strong support for this resolution, which is partly why I co-sponsored it, or entirely why I co-sponsored it. I'm a member of the CJC, and this is the official position of the Codes and Judicial Committee. We have voted on this. So the University Assembly's Code and Judicial Committee fully believes in what is written in this resolution. And also the Student Assembly has unanimously adopted this. So I think in the spirit of shared governance, the reason that shared governance at Cornell exists is one third of the reason that shared governance exists is to oversee the codes. By removing this, we are stripping ourselves of one of our three core tenets of the reason for our existence. So that's why I think we really need to vote in favor of this and stay true to the reason that the assemblies were even founded at Cornell, which is to oversee the codes and judicial processes in an unbiased way, and also not to break the laws of New York State, which actually prohibits someone with a conflict of interest to be overseeing this process, which would happen if the code gets adopted as it is right now.
All right, thank you. Cody.
Yeah, so I also wanted to speak in favor of it. Sorry, you caught me filling up my pasta water. I also wanted to speak really in favor of this. I think it's incredibly important, and the, you know, as things currently are proposed, removing this from the UA's jurisdiction goes completely against the spirit of shared governance. And I think that this is kind of, just a no-brainer in terms of keeping our principles of what this body stands for, what the UA stands for, and what the whole shared governance model stands for. So I very strongly support this.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Logan.
Am I able to propose amendments to my resolution as an ex officio member?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, so I would like to propose for line 52 to read what I just posted in the text. It's holding the university assembly accountable to actually consider the opinions of the GPSA and SA. I left it blank intentionally to talk to the student assembly to see how they wanted to define consultation, but I don't want to leave it out.
Okay, so does everyone see that? Okay, so is there a second to the amendment?
Nick? Second.
All right, it's been seconded. Is there any discussion of the amendment? All right, seeing none, I call the question on it. Please vote yes in favor, no against. All right, with 12 in favor and no against, the amendment is adopted. And we're now back to discussion of the resolution. Is there any further discussion? Logan, would you like to say more? Yeah, go ahead.
I just also want to correct that the Student Assembly approved Resolution 19 on 12/5/2020 and just make that correction for the abstract and also for line 49.
All right, do you want to do that as amendment, or I guess we could?
It's technically a grammatical thing, so I don't know if it's an amendment. I think that you can just adopt it, but I'm not positive.
All right, so how about this? I'm going to say, unless there is an objection to that friendly amendment, then I'm going to allow it to be adopted by general consent, and then we'll correct the date. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay.
I'd like to call for a point of order.
What's the point of order, Nick?
I'd like to have a roll call vote on this resolution.
Okay, so we're going to, it's been moved and seconded to set this to a roll call vote. Is there any discussion of setting the setting this to roll call? All right, seeing none, I call a question on this motion to set the voting method. Please vote yes in favor of roll call, no if opposed to that. And this goes by simple majority rules. Okay, with 13 in favor and none against, the motion passes and we're using roll call as default method of voting on this resolution. Is there any further discussion? Logan.
Thank you, David. Lastly, I just want to stress to everyone that I have been granted 5 minutes to talk to the Board of Trustees on Thursday, which is gigantic, and a large part of that is going to be talking about jurisdiction, because I really don't want to see a Cornell that exists where students don't have a really strong say in their own rights. So I'm like coming here like really strongly asking you to consider this very seriously, and to know that removing jurisdiction from the university assembly can have a really negative impact for years to come beyond your time at Cornell. And thank you, David. I'm sorry for talking so much.
It's all right. Is there any further discussion? All right, seeing none, I'm going to have us call the question, and we're using roll call. So please, if Coral is available, please proceed to call the roll.
Catherine Masters. Mila Kantar.
Sorry, yes, I was having trouble unmuting myself for Catherine Masters.
And you voted in favor?
Yes.
Okay. Mila Kantar. Matthew Bulch.
I'm in favor.
Hannah Cole.
I vote in favor.
Stephanie Lopez. Paul Vintage.
I vote in favor.
Martique Chatterjee.
Vote in favor.
Tim Littermoser.
In favor.
Maddie Keith.
In favor.
Jordan Dotzel.
In favor.
Casey Laurent.
In favor.
Cody Duell.
In favor.
Chris O'Connor?
In favor.
Meredith Welch?
In favor.
Hannah Bittiger Curtis? Ruth Barankovich?
In favor.
Karina Barras? Emery Schoenley? Matt Schoffler?
In favor.
Matthew Sturgeon? Christine Onewa? Ryan Maloney? Amanda Cirillo? Allison Bigerano?
In favor.
And Peyton Cole?
In favor.
Okay, and do we have a total?
16 in favor.
All right, it was 16 in favor and none against. The resolution is adopted. Thank you. We're now going to move on to our next order of business, which is my own resolution. So I hereby, since I'm the sponsor of it, I would like to relinquish the chair to VP Nick Danev. So here's the gavel. So there, you got it. Okay.
Okay, so yes, we're moving to Resolution 9, extending voting membership to standing committee chairpersons. This resolution was sponsored by David Dunham, president of the GPSA. David, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to share my screen real quick so you can see it. So I think that this resolution, I think, is very important for a number of reasons. I think that we've had several issues in over the course of this semester with the fact that we have an absolute majority voting requirement for resolutions, which is written into our bylaws, which we could potentially suspend, but not really, and which we hope to eventually get rid of because it's really difficult for us to meet this very high standard to pass resolutions if a great number of people are not actually present in the meetings. Whereas most other assemblies have a much lower requirement, we have a higher one. And so I want to try to propose a series of resolutions amending our charter to expand the number of people who have voting membership. So currently, as you know, voting membership is limited to a very small subset of our entire assembly. And the people who serve as committee chairs are usually not also voting members. So this resolution is pretty simple. It simply grants ex officio voting membership to the committee chairs. And I think that this is a very good decision because it would allow for the people who have the greatest commitment, the greatest level of dedication to the GPSA to also have a further incentive to participate and actually vote on our resolutions. I think this would be relatively easy to implement. It would increase the number of voting members to 36. And we would have to try to deal with what to do about situations where a single person has two chairships. Obviously, only one person can be a voting member at a time. So we'd have to amend this to try to figure out how to deal with that. But basically, if you choose to become a committee chair, you would have voting rights. Since this is an amendment to the charter, we can't vote on it today. It has to be postponed at least one meeting. And it also requires President Pollack to approve it before it can be incorporated into our charter. So I want to just introduce this today to kind of give an incentive for people to start thinking about your participation on committees and hopefully for you to spend the time over break to reflect on this and think about exactly what sort of changes you would like to see in the GPSA. So that people have more more power over the decisions that we make. And with that, I won't say anything more. Yeah.
Thank you, David. And now I will open the floor for debate and questions. Please raise your hands I'll call you on the speakers list. And also, I just want to read out for the meeting minutes. Robert said a lot of organizations had a clause provided each person shall have only one vote. So that could be a possible amendment to the resolution. Does anyone have any questions or comments? All right. Seeing none,
So what I'll do is I'll move to postpone this discussion of this resolution until the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Thank you. Does anyone oppose postponing this resolution to our next meeting in February? Seeing none, I'm going to pass this by general consent. And with that, I'm also going to relinquish my chairship of this meeting and give it back to David.
All right. Thank you for giving it back to me. And thank you all for considering this. How do I stop sharing? Stop sharing. Okay. All right, is there any other new business that anyone would like to bring before the assembly? Okay, seeing none, we're now gonna move on to the reports of officers and committee updates, beginning with the executive committee. Nick?
The executive committee is proposing several changes to the bylaws and the charter. As you have seen, David proposed one just now, and this is supported by the executive committee. Other than that, there's a lot of vacancies, and we would really love for people to sign up for them. But besides that, we don't have much more to update.
Okay, next, because Ariel has to go soon, Finance Commission.
Hi, the main update is congratulations to Akarsha. I just wanted to say, we're also considering writing a resolution in order to compensate heads of committees and those people who choose to serve on exec. So I will be doing work over winter break to try and figure out how to make this feasible. And I think that this will also help to make officer positions more appealing and also just more feasible for students to take on. So if anyone is interested in helping with that, then please reach out to me, ARJ66. I can also put that in the chat and we can go from there. Thanks.
Thank you. Communications, Kavya?
Nothing much. I'm going to try to send out an email with the list of positions that we talked about earlier, so please do share that. And people can reach out to us over the break because the committees don't really require an election, so they can be staffed at any point. Any ones that do require an election, we can do the first meeting of the next semester. So share that as much as you can. Yeah.
Thank you. Operations, Mardik?
I don't have much to add. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Appropriations, Akarsha, anything you'd like to add?
No, nothing much. Nothing else to add.
Okay, Disc, is Yu here? Nope, she's not. Faculty teaching, Cody?
No substantial updates, but I would like to make a statement that anyone who is interested in getting involved, who thinks that they'd like to be heavily involved in the faculty awards next semester, which is a really fun thing to do, I would encourage people to get in touch with me now because I'm definitely looking for people to take some of the leadership on that because it's going to coincide very well with my having a baby to look after. So that would be nice to have some support starting earlier rather than later.
That's congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, programming, Casey.
No updates.
Okay, thank you. And student advocacy is vacant. So that's all for committee updates. Now we will move on to open forum where any member of the public can speak to the assembly. Would anyone like to speak at this time? Nick.
Hi, I just sent the attendance form in the chat, so please fill that out. Here it is again.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Logan.
Thanks, David. Yeah, I would just like to officially thank everyone for looking over my resolution, having me here the past couple of meetings, and listening to me talk tirelessly about the code, and for everything that you guys do. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mordek.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for supporting my resolution. I would like to point out that this is the kind of resolution that the Student Advocacy Committee would usually put out, which involves student welfare and advocating for student welfare. So this would be a great chance to fill that chair position for the Student Advocacy Committee for anyone who is really passionate about advocating for student welfare.
Thank you. And I agree totally with that. Is there anyone else?
I had one thing to bring up.
Yeah.
This is absolutely unofficial, but I've been hearing chatter that Annabelle's Grocery is trying to reopen next semester because they think they can do it safely, and they think that the need to provide food for low-income students is incredibly important. I don't know how this process is going because I only heard about this, like I said, tangentially, but I guess that's something I wanted to bring to the GPSA, as if there's some people who are very for it or against it. I think currently the conversation is mostly between the undergrads.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else who wishes to speak in open forum, and considering that we have exhausted our agenda, I am going to call for an adjournment of today's meeting. Anyone would like to speak? Last chance? All right, seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.